When we are wrong, let us humble ourselves and ask for what? Forgiveness.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Pastor Brian Grant likens marriage to Jesus' parable of the two men who each built a house. The one built his house on the rock, the other built upon the sand. But when the storms came, and storms will come, the house founded upon the rock stood. But sadly, the house founded on the sand fell, and great was the fall thereof. This evening, Pastor Grant will conclude this message, giving prescriptions from God's Word how marriages can not only survive the storms of life, but thrive and grow as God intends they should. Here again is Pastor Grant with the conclusion of Building a Marriage That Lasts.
There's some son or daughter who needs to hear from some of us. I'm not preaching about parenting today, but there are some of you who have children who have strayed and you're so angry, you want to have nothing to do with them. Perhaps they need to get a card from you, something that lets them know, I will never give up on you. No matter how far you may go, I will always love you. I think I heard somebody sing that song. Listen, it's wonderful that most parents are committed to loving their children. But it's a pity some of those same parents who are committed to loving their children for life are not committed to loving their spouse for life. Despite the vow they made. Am I right? There was a vow made? Despite the vow they made to permanence. Sadly, it's easier for us to commit to our children, so to our spouses. So here's a takeaway I'd like you to write down. Whether you're divorced or remarried or you've never been divorced, but if you are married, write this down. Problems will occur in every marriage, but let us commit to permanence. Let our spouses know, I will always love you, even when sometimes I don't like you. Leave that part off. Don't put that in the card. Amen. So here's the third thing. You're taking notes. Here's the third thing we want to talk about. Build with a commitment to showing forgiveness. Build with a commitment to showing forgiveness. I want to take you here to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I just wanted to pick something from this text. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Let me just say this, that this passage is not necessarily written in the context of marriage. So it applies, we may as well deal with some other issues while we're at it, because if you have somebody in your life, whether they're a church member or a family member, and you are a bent out of shape, it says, as the elect of God, if you're a born again believer, one of those who has been elected and chosen by God, he says, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, boy, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If you have a complaint against anyone, as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. May God help us to forgive. As most couples have discovered, men and women are totally different. Has anybody discovered that? Do you know that after 49 years of marriage, you may think I was married longer than that because I look so bad, but it's only 49 years. You would have thought that after 49 years of marriage, I would have learned. But can I be honest? I'm still trying to figure out, why does a roll of toilet paper have to be put on in one direction? Why does it always have to be to roll in that? Why can't I do it the other way? I fought that fight for a long time, but I have finally given up the fight. But here's the bottom line. We're different. Men and women are different. So we may as well deal with that and build with a commitment to showing forgiveness. Because we're going to rub each other the wrong way. Has anybody ever rubbed their mate, their spouse, the wrong way? I won't ask for a show of hands because some of you may want to look very spiritual and lie in church by trying to be spiritual and not raising your hand. A survey was made of 200 married adults in regards to forgiveness. The researchers were seeking to discover the degree to which spouses' willingness to forgive affected their marital satisfaction and well-being. The results showed that there is a huge relationship between marital satisfaction and forgiveness. And that as much as one-third of a person's satisfaction with their marriage is related to their willingness to forgive. Did you hear what I'm saying? There's some on the road right now, you know, there's some in the holding cell for marriage. There are a few of the folks in the church right now. They're being counseled for marriage. It's good for you to learn this right now, even before we get going. But for those of us who are married, listen. As much as a third of a person's satisfaction with their marriage is related to your willingness to forgive. Are you willing to forgive? As a person's willingness to forgive increased, this is what the research showed, as a person's willingness to forgive increased, there was a decrease in their symptoms of depression, a decrease in their symptoms of anxiety, a decrease in their symptoms of fatigue. So add this to your notes. When we are wrong, let us humble ourselves and ask for what? Forgiveness. Humble ourselves. Too many marriages are breaking apart because pride makes us not want to say, I was wrong, please forgive me. I can't quite understand why that is so hard. What is it? We'll chat after. Say it with me. I was wrong. Did that hurt you? But was it very painful? I was wrong. Please forgive me. Whoa! But don't just recite it like a parrot. Make sure it's coming from the Let's sure it's coming from the heart. I was wrong. You don't have to quote my exact words, although I think my words are quite okay, all right? I was wrong. Please forgive me. You see, be ready and willing to say I'm sorry and be specific. I just gave you the outline, but be specific. Don't leave the spouse What exactly are you asking for forgiveness for? You did 25 terrible things today. Which of the 25 is it? Let us be specific. Amen. When I did so and so, I really shouldn't have spoken to you so harshly. Has anyone ever spoken to his wife or their husband harshly? All right. I may as well confess I have to ask for forgiveness, because sometimes, and I don't want to do like some people I know who, I had a relative who would say this, "That's how I am. I'm harsh." Your wife don't care what you are like if you are harsh. Get tender with her, amen? If you're harsh, get tender with her. And if you're harsh, with him. And it's not just a one-sided thing. You know, women, sometimes you're harsh with us too, amen? Men, can I get an amen? Sometimes we need a little loving. Sometimes we just need, "Oh, I was so wrong, honey. I'm so sorry for what I..." Okay, let me move on. I'm trying to go through this pretty quickly. Here's something else to add to your notes. When we are the victim, we must be willing to forgive. Is this a problem sometimes? Amen? It says, bearing with one another, and what? Verse 13, Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, it says there, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. When we are the victim, we must be willing to forgive. Ask God to help you to let it go. Pray, "God, sometimes it's so hard," but ask God to help you to let it go. Because until you forgive, your marriage will not be healed. You might be saying, "Pastor, okay, I'm willing to forgive. But what about this guy who just keeps..." I forgave him for this particular thing last week. But do you know this man is back doing the same thing? So you say, "Pastor, how many times must I forgive him?" You hear the choir behind me? The choir behind me saying, 70 times 7. Do you agree? Can I be honest with you? If my wife ever came to me one day and said, 70 times 7 is 490. But right now, I have already forgiven you 400. I would have had to go to counseling right away, because I would recognize my wife is actually keeping a record. You understand the concept here is that you're not logging it. You got your log book. She said she did so and so. Boom, boom, boom. And such as... You're not keeping a log. And because you're not keeping a log, there's no way for you to know when 70 times 7 has come. Amen? So listen to what Jesus says. Matthew's Gospel chapter 18, verse 21 and 22, which is the passage you all are quoting. But I've already interpreted. I should have read it, then interpreted for you. Then Peter came, verse 21. Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times?" Jesus said, "No, but up to 70 times 7. So now you know, Jesus is not saying keep the log. Because when you start keeping a record, you really have not really forgiven. Amen? Let's give it up, okay? So what have we said so far? Building a marriage that lasts, we must build on Christ, the only solid foundation. Second, we must build with a commitment to permanence. Third, we must build with a commitment to showing forgiveness. And here's the fourth and final thing I want to leave you with today. We must build with a commitment to growing in love. We must build with a commitment to growing in love. If the love stopped... If you ask Brother Clareman and Sister Pat later on, and they'll be here downstairs having, you know, so you can go and ask them. Ask them, "Did you seek to grow in love?" I can assure you they would. They would tell you, yes, they did. You know, some couples regard their marriage as dead. I've heard people say, some have said to me, "Pastor, I don't have any feelings for him anymore. And he will say, I don't have no feelings for her anymore. So as far as they're concerned, the marriage is dead. Listen, I want to make it clear. As you're listening, wherever you're listening from, if you're in a marriage that's dead or is on life support, God can bring it to life again. For Dr. Jesus is in the resurrection business. Am I right about that? Dr. Jesus is in the resurrection business. Oh, how is it that we believe he's in the resurrection business when it comes to raising Lazarus from the dead, but we don't believe he's in the resurrection business to raising dead marriages? Amen. Dr. Jesus is in the resurrection business, and he can not only resurrect dead people, he can resurrect dead marriages, amen. And if your marriage needs a touch from Dr. Jesus, he is available today. I want you to know that. Dr. Jesus is available today, and I thank God for the marriages we have seen restored, and even now, by the grace of God, marriages that are being restored right now. And we thank God, Dr. Jesus is still in the resurrection business. So as I wind up this message, I'd like to take a moment to examine love's key ingredient. And I want to just take look at two passages of scripture. The first one is in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, in verses 1 and 2, it says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor, aroma. Be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us. Amen. Jesus sacrificed himself for us. You notice that? He loved us and he sacrificed, he gave himself as an offering and a sacrifice. Listen, write this down. Instead of wanting things my way, each husband and wife must determine to make sacrifices for their spouse. When I commit to growing in love, I am making a commitment to sacrificing for my spouse. Sometimes if we're not careful, we only want everything coming my way. But may God help us. Love does not grow when I am always on the receiving end. And sadly, sometimes one spouse is always on the receiving end. And they hardly recognize how important it is for them to give. Because, listen, and what God is trying to say to us this morning, that one of the most important ingredients of love is sacrifice. Jesus loved us, and he demonstrated it by sacrificing himself for us. Are you willing to do more sacrificing for your spouse? May God help us to do that as we seek by his grace to build with a commitment to growing in love. And so one last scripture, Matthew's Gospel chapter 13, verses 45 and 46. Matthew 13, 45 and 46. This is an odd scripture, but it's one of the scriptures that has impacted me so much. Again, the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 13, 45, is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. You know, for many years I had heard preachers speak of this as how much Christ loved the church. Or no, the reverse. I'd heard of, look at it, almost as if Christ is that pearl of great price and the sacrifice we must do for him. But when you study this text, it's not talking about him being the pearl of great price. It's talking about his church. We are the pearl of great price. And the text is actually saying that what, listen, that God, the scripture says, who when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. You cannot get away from this. Central to love is what? Sacrifice. God loves you and he loves me. And love is not a word that is just a word. Love is an action word. And so the Bible says, when he had found this pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. What is it saying? The text is telling us that Jesus, God manifested in the flesh, loved me so much, loved you so much, that he sacrificed everything that he had so that he could purchase us by his blood. He gave everything he had to purchase us. Write this down. True love is willing to sacrifice. One day, you know, I used to always look at it the other way. But I can tell you, I'm so glad that Jesus loves me so much that he was willing to give up everything. Let me ask you before I close. God loves you and you and you and you. Jesus went to the cross and he died for your sin. He died for my sin. And I can tell you, I received him when I was 9 years old, and the thrill is still not gone. The thrill is getting stronger and stronger because Jesus is sweeter as the days go by. We used to sing that song, sweeter as the days go by. I have found walking with Jesus to be sweeter and sweeter. And this God, this Christ who died on the cross for your sins, today he wants you to know he loves you. And he wants to come and live in you. He wants to transform you. He wants to change you. Jesus paid it all. But there's a decision we must make. We must make a decision to receive him into our hearts. I started by talking about building on the right foundation. And listen, it all comes back to that. We must build on the right foundation. We must build on the only solid foundation. We must build our lives. We must build our marriages on the Lord Jesus Christ. Ryan, I'm going to ask you, as we bring this service to a close, this message to a close, I'm going to ask you, no matter where you are, who you are, if you're not sure that Jesus lives in your heart, I'm going to ask you to come and receive him today, because to know Christ is to know true love. Father, we pray that in this closing moment of this message, there might be some who may say yes to the Savior, that your Spirit may work in such a way that they may open their hearts to you and receive you as Savior. Amen.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.